athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. Look, I'm going to be the first one to admit that I was wrong about the Minnesota Timberwolves. I thought when the Timberwolves had the 2-0 lead, and really the two games were dominating games by the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards was absolutely spectacular. Now, he's been really, really good, even in the losses, but that is, it's the old moniker, never underestimate the heart of a champion or never count a champion out. And normally, like, I don't rush to judgment on a lot of different things. Like, something will happen, it'll be a big topic of conversation, or something will happen, and everybody will rush to judgment. Yeah, you're right. The Timberwolves are gonna not only gonna beat Denver, the Timberwolves are probably gonna win the NBA title this year. And normally I don't react in that manner, but again, because of the dominating performance, I got caught up in the hype. That's just the bottom line. And look, it was easy to get caught up in the hype because Minnesota won both of those games in dominating fashion. That's why it was easy to get caught up in the hype. But Denver had other plans, and you can never underestimate the value of coaching. Mike Malone is an excellent coach. Just some tweaks that he made. Players have to play. There's no doubt about that. But some of the matchups in terms of, you know, whether you let an Ant-Man get whatever he gets and stop everybody else, or you put, you know, you put certain defensive players on offensive players to stop. I mean, there's all of those different kinds of strategies. The players have to come and play. And look, Jamal Murray has come to play despite the, and look, he had really the breakdown with the throwing of the, some kind of bottle or in a towel onto the floor. I mean, he had sort of that breakdown, and I know a lot of people thought he should have been suspended. I didn't think so. Thought the $100,000 fine was definitely appropriate. But look, you had Denver decide, look, heart of a champion. Any cliche you want to use, that is what's happened with the Denver Nuggets. And so Denver has really been able to really, really do its thing. And you got to give the champions a lot of credit for that. You know, on this program last week, I talked about the Boston Celtics. And look, I think the Celtics, in a way, may have been aided by the fact that Donovan Mitchell did not play the last couple of games. And you got to give the Cavaliers a lot of credit. I give the Cavaliers a lot of credit because the Cavaliers came to play without not only their best player, really by far, but also, you know, we forget a lot of times. Like, we talk about all these great players in the league, and I've watched Donovan Mitchell play the last several weeks, and I tell you what, you know, what he was able to do, especially in that closeout game and against Orlando, and you just sometimes kind of forget. And that's the thing about Donovan Mitchell. Like, he's been in these smaller markets. He was in Salt Lake City for those years. He's in Cleveland now and still tied to Cleveland under contract for next year. The following year, he's got an opt-out. And we don't – the Cleveland has been sort of middle of the road, right? Like, when we had Mike Wallace on about a month ago, I really asked him about the Cavaliers, and could the Cavaliers sort of be maybe that dark horse looking to finish around at that time the third or fourth seed in the way that the Cavaliers were playing. But look, the Cavaliers were beat up. Not only did the Cavaliers not have Mitchell, the Cavaliers also for the whole series really did not have Allen. So you're talking about a couple of key pieces. I don't think it would have mattered. And like I said last week when I talked about Boston, we've seen this from Boston. Boston's going to have these kind of trip-ups, and I wouldn't even call the game that the Celtics lost to the Cavaliers a trip-up. I would call that a good win by the Cavaliers. I mean, that's a good team. But we know that the Celtics, probably from top to bottom, are the best team in the NBA. And so when you look at it from that perspective, the Celtics did what the Celtics needed to do. The Celtics handled their business. Now, I'll say this much. Not having Kristaps Porzingis hasn't been big, but I think going forward, especially when you're talking about the Celtics and the Eastern Conference Finals and then possibly moving, I think the Celtics will win the Eastern Conference Finals and moving on to the NBA Finals. You're going to need a guy like Porzingis that brings instant offense, size. He's 7'3". He's not a pushover. I'm not saying he's the greatest defender, but at 7'3", he's going to get you some rebounds. He's going to block some shots. He's going to alter some shots. And so he's going to make a really, really big difference for the Boston Celtics. But look, like I said last week, I didn't think there was any doubt. If Donovan Mitchell had played, I think, because I look at it from this point. I mean, you could look at it and say, okay, Donovan Mitchell was out, but so was Porzingis. But Porzingis had been out for a longer period of time. Porzingis was out going back to the initial series for the Celtics. So Porzingis had already been out, and the Celtics had played without Porzingis. That said, playing field was leveled. But look, I think the Celtics are going to need Porzingis coming back, or it would be at least a great luxury to have. You know, Derek White had a good first game. I can't remember his second game, but then the last three games, not so good. As a matter of fact, taking a lot of bad shots for the Celtics. And he's going to have to be much better in the next series for the Celtics. They're going to have to, you know, I love the way Horford is playing. I love some of the way some of the bench guys are really kind of stepping up for the Celtics. And I like the play of Jason Tatum. This is something we've been looking to see from Jason Tatum. And I was in a barber shop the other day, and there was a conversation about whether Tatum is like Kobe Bryant, okay, because that was his mentor, right? And I was like, no way. Like, from a skill perspective, maybe. But the thing that Tatum doesn't have that Kobe had was that killer instinct. And that's something that Tatum has lacked and is lacking. And I don't know if it's just something, I don't think it's something you can kind of turn on. Now, maybe from game to game, you can. And that's something that we may have to see from Jason Tatum moving forward. But as I mentioned, I thought that the Celtics would handle their business. And they did, despite the fact that Donovan Mitchell did not play the last couple of games. And you could, you know, I think even with a healthy Donovan Mitchell, now with a healthy Donovan Mitchell, I would have given Cleveland one more game, or not a healthy, I can't say a healthy Donovan Mitchell, but let's say a Donovan Mitchell that played in games 1, 2, and 3, even that Donovan Mitchell, not 100%, but going to give you something on the floor. I think that Cleveland gets one game, but it's not because the Celtics didn't play well. Yes, Derek White didn't shoot particularly well. No, the Celtics maybe didn't play their best basketball, but I'm going to give all of the credit in the world to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we've got that to talk about. Denver, the Knicks, right? Like, and again, like I said last week, like, I'm not rooting against the Knicks. I think Jalen Brunson, I think this Knicks team, I like watch. Like, that series was fun to watch, the Knicks and the Pacers. Fun series to watch. I was tuned into every game. I think that Jalen Brunson is absolutely dynamite, but then when you look at some of the other players and DiVincenzo and all of the and a lot of the role players for the Knicks, they played extremely hard. Especially let's look at game five, pivotal game five, right? Which the Knicks won, went up 3-2 at that time. The Knicks wanted it more. They were back at home. But again, it's the narrative of the New York Knicks that really bothers me more so than anything else. Because if the Knicks win and the Knicks are doing well, then all of the talk is about the Knicks, whether it's on ESPN. ESPN is supposed to be impartial as a national entity. Yet most of what we're going to see and hear about, unfortunately, pertains to the Knicks a lot of times because a lot of the personalities are New York people. And really, I'm not even talking about Stephen A., right? Like Stephen A., we know where Stephen A. stands. That's the thing. Like, when he's on the air, he doesn't hide his feelings, right? But you've got some of these other guys that are trying to be impartial. And I think Stephen A.'s show with First Take is a little bit different. I'm talking about like your sports centers where the Knicks are generally leading the way, your radio shows, right? And it's not just ESPN, it's some of the other entities as well. If the Knicks are doing well, because the Knicks and the Yankees, probably the most dominant teams in New York, right? The teams that get a lot of the attention, it's going to be all about the Knicks. And I'm not wishing ill upon the Knicks. I'm tired of hearing about the Knicks. When the Knicks win, you know, if the Knicks lose, the narrative would be, well, they weren't 100%. You know what I mean? So we've got to kind of go and deal with that. Look, I'm up against the break. Got a couple of guests that are going to join us today here on Box to Row. Michael Robertson's the head baseball coach at Texas Southern, and he's going to join us on the program. Also, Larry Heinlein is the head softball coach at Morgan State. The Bears winning the MEAC Tournament Championship. Going to be in the Duke Regional this weekend. He also joins us as Box to Row rolls on.
More of Box to Row with Donna Ware is on the way. The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinance through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341, 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness. Value of the vehicle on term and other.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
We're going to keep things moving here on Box to Row, joined by a gentleman in his 16th. Count them. 16th season as the head baseball coach at Texas Southern. And the Tigers wrapped up another SWAC Western Division. Looking forward, of course, to the SWAC tournament on next week. Michael Robertson's been coming on the program for many, many years. He joins us once again here on Box to Row. What's going on, Coach Robertson? Welcome back to the program.
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
It's always good to have you. It's always good to talk some SWAC baseball and some Texas Southern baseball. And I think you and I go back perhaps to your last year at Prairie View A&M, maybe in 2008, 2007. We may have had you on the show. We've been doing this a long time. Does it seem like 16 seasons at Texas Southern?
No, I don't, but it feel like it. Well, you know, the years have gone by so fast because, you know, when I look at it, Donna, is all the adversities that one would encompass with taking this position as head coach of a university. Of course, you know where we're at with our facilities and stuff, and it's so many opportunities. It's unbelievable. And that's what it's been for me. It's been an honor and it's been a privilege to have an opportunity to coach at an illustrious university like this that would present these that would resuscitate the program, because that's, of course, you know, the high school program at Forest Brook, and then we moved to Prairie View A&M University, and we had an opportunity to resuscitate that, and the same thing with Texas Southern University. But this one has been a different challenge, and that's what have kept me going. And that's why these 16 years have gone by so fast, because I'm telling you, it's been one heck of a ride, and it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to do it with the relationship that I've encumbered, you know, throughout the 16 years, and the assistant coaches, and of course the players and administrators too. You know, we all in.
You know, it's interesting. We had a chance to talk briefly before this conversation. You mentioned this may be the best bench that you've had since you've been coaching, period, right? So what is that, and what else is maybe special perhaps about this team this year?
Man, I would say our toughness, just our toughness. You know, we talk about AAIT, attitude, approach, intensity, and toughness. You know, your attitude is supreme confidence. You know, you expect to win. And your approach is, what's my role? What's my duty? What's my function? And then intensity, you know, your love for the game, your passion, you know, and then the toughness. That's all three wrapped up in one. So that's been our, you know, core covenants, you know, throughout our program, throughout since I've been here. So, you know, everything has been a byproduct, of course, to our, where we got started in August, which is our strength conditioning program. So, you know, it's two things that we really try to focus on when we go up there 3 days a week, you know, in the fall at 6:30 in the morning. You know, we always say we eat iron for breakfast, you know, gritty eats pretty for breakfast, you know, so you can't be pretty at TSU. You know, we're in third ward, you know, it's the ward, it's the trade, you know, so those are some things that we believe in, but more so than not, you know, we're about AAIT, you know, we get the kids up early in the morning and we eat iron for breakfast, you know. So, you know, I think that the biggest thing for me is the kids have embraced their role. I always talked about, you know, to every ball club that we have, you know, you need a bench in order to win championship. You know, you need a guy to come off the bench for defense replacement. You need a guy to come off the bench to, you know, get a bunt. You need a guy to come off the bench to hit a single. You need a guy to come off the bench to hit a double, you know. So, you know, we have to be able to embrace our roles. And that's something that we've done, you know, really, really, really well. And I think that's been the key to our success this year, because I can't give you one particular name of, you know, one individual, you know, in our program. We've just been able to use a combination of our talent to get it done. And I would just say, if you ask me, you know, how we win in games, you know, I would just say this is a get it done offense. You know, of course, our offense have shown up and we've done really well with putting up some good numbers, but it's different than the past. You know, in the past, we've been really big on stealing bases, getting them on, getting them over, and getting them in. This is a different type of ball club. What we've really been able to do with this club is hit together and then with a little slug in the offense. And then we've been able to get a lot of uncommon wins. So when I talk about uncommon wins, those are things that will not show up in the box scores, but, you know, that will help you to win some processes in a game. And that's what I can say about this club, is that we've had a lot of oncoming wins. So I would have to say that has a lot, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with the student athletes, but the system, just our system of play, and our kids are bought in.
Michael Robertson, again in his 16th season as the head baseball coach at Texas Southern, as he joins us here on Box to Row. You know, Coach Robertson, the SWAC in of itself in both divisions. You look at the East, very tough. You're right there, obviously at the top of the West. You've got a series against Arkansas Pine Bluff to end. But you've been dominant. Like, you've been dominant, particularly for the most part, particularly against the Western Division. Why so?
Yeah. Well, you hit it right on the nose. It's very difficult in our division because, you know, it's a four-headed monster. But the two teams at the bottom, you can't just show up and say that, hey, we're going to win these games. And so it's always been like that. It's not about the most talented team in our conference. It's about the team. It's always been about the team that won it the most. You know, so you have to bring your best, you know, out every game, because it's no shortage of good teams on our side in the Western Division. So we've played well. You know, we're going in our 10th weekend, and I can say that, you know, the thing that probably set us apart was that weekend series against Southern, when we was able to beat them four times at our home place. And I think we just gained a tremendous amount of confidence after that, and we just build on from it. We still got some work to do to get that number one seed, but I think it's within our grasp. I think our kids are highly motivated to get it done, and it's just about us going out and having the opportunity to play those three games this weekend. We got some weather in front of us, but I think we'll get those three games in.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the offense in particular, Mr. Burns? I mean, he's, you know, he's a guy that's one of the top hitters in terms of in the SWAC. He's at 367. He's got six home runs. But then you've got some guys, maybe not as of late, but you've got some guys that can take it out of the park.
Yeah. That's why I say, you know, we've done a good job this year of hitting together and with a little slug. And, you know, another thing we didn't talk about is, you know, our small ball package, our short game, you know, we've been able to, you know, safety squeeze and double squeeze. And I think a lot of teams don't understand when we score those two runs, we're runners at second and third, you know, we practice that every day. That's a double squeeze. That's the old Mike Gillespie at UC Irvine way of winning ball games. So I got that from Mike. We talked extensively about how to teach it. And so that's something that we really focus on. But back to Nian Burns, tremendous athlete. And, you know, we're glad to have him at our place. We got him late in the summer. And I'm telling you, man, he's been really, really, really special for us. He's a dynamic ball player. He possesses some tools that, you know, that I think Major League Baseball would, you know, definitely be taking a look at him. He's a strong kid with a plus arm and got some pop in his bat, but he plays the game the right way. I can say that he does a lot of things that would not show up in the box score. You just have to see this kid play.
No doubt about it. Again, Michael Robertson, the head baseball coach at Texas Southern, joins us here on the program. I hadn't seen you play. I don't know, you know, numbers don't always tell the story. However, are just based upon the numbers, maybe misleading, but are there some concerns from a pitching standpoint moving forward?
I think with every program in Division I is concerned, it's always this time of year is going to be your bullpen. You know, what we try to do is have, you know, you got three starters, you know, they're game managers, and then you got one guy to keep the game right where it's at. If you can find that one guy to keep the game right where it's at, and then the rest of the guys, you know, you just passing the baton. You know, if this guy on today, and then you're fine with him. If he's not on, you got to pass the baton to the next guy. So, yeah, we still have some things that we need to work on. We've been talking about that. We've been trying to address that. Before we can say we're a complete team, we need to fix some things in our bullpen. And so that's why this weekend is going to be immensely important for us. Before we go to the tournament, we need to find some answers, and hopefully we'll find them this weekend.
And then finally, what most comes to your mind? You've had an illustrious career, success, you know, at PV, success, you know, at Texas Southern, success on the high school level. What most comes to your mind when you think back over the course of your career?
Yeah, just being sustainable. Just, you know, we never wanted to be a 1 year wonder, you know. So, you know, back in those years at when I was at Forest Brook, you know, we were consistent with the way we won district championships and leading all the way up until 2002 season when we finally, you know, you got to go win five rounds to make it to a state high school tournament. That's a lot of baseball against a lot of good teams in the Houston area. And we was able to accomplish that. So the system, and then at Prairie View A&M University, planning four straight championships and then doing it again at Texas Southern University. So that's the thing that sticks out more with me is that our system has been the key. Again, it hasn't been me. It hasn't been the player. It's just our system. And we did a really, you know, good job, all the relationships, like I say. And then we've had a lot of good athletes, you know, under our tutelage that bought in. And so that's the thing that really sticks out with me is that, you know, we've done it over a period of time, and we wasn't a 1 year wonder. It's a sustainable championship culture that we have here at Texas Southern University.
Of course, Michael Robertson again in his 16th season as the head baseball coach at Texas Southern, joining us here on the program. Of course, a weekend series against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Coach Robertson, it's great as always to catch up with you. Continued success to you and the Tigers.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
SWAC tournament next week promises to be super exciting in Atlanta because, as I mentioned with Coach Robertson, almost each and every year, the regular season champion does not win the tournament. And a lot of times, even going back a couple of years ago, like when Southern won it, it's generally a dark horse who may end up winning the SWAC tournament championship. Up next here on Box to Row, we're going to stay with the swinging of the bats, and we're going to talk with Morgan State head softball coach Larry Heinlein.
The Body Armor State Games are coming this June to Charlotte. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Athletes of all ages and skills can register now at bodyarmorstategames.org. Let the Body Armor State Games begin.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
I'm excited I get to play for them. They support us in everything we do. You know, it's a joy to, you know, go to work and know that you're going to be, you know, they're going to cheer for you as loud as they can, no matter who you're playing.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games, you know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith.
It's my sincere hope that when my ride ends, I'll get a big hug and a big thank you for what I tried to do for other people when I was at the top. Because that's all you have to lean on at the end of the day, bro. I mean, I plan on being successful for years to come, but it ain't gonna last forever. And, you know, when my day comes, when it's the end of the road and it's time for somebody else to be in my seat, in my chair, you know, it's my hope that whoever that person or those people are, people that knew I cared about them and believed in them to help them get to this place.
Hey, Spike Lee.
Thank you. I haven't heard that. I mean, I've been on radios all over the nation. Thank you for that question. I'm a third-generation Morehouse man. I was taught to speak your truth, and that there's very special about being a Morehouse man, the same way you feel about your school, the same way we feel all about our respective historic black colleges. That would have been my first choice anyway, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse man.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
That is the voice of Steph Curry.
Your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And, it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
the one and only Michael Strahan.
Always good to talk to you. Hopefully next time it won't be, what, 14 years? You can get to it. Man, you know what is good? And you're encouraging people to be better and do better. And that's what I love, man. So thank you. I appreciate you.
As we're joined by the one and only Jerry Rice. What do you remember most about those days at Mississippi Valley State?
What is going on at Mississippi Valley State University? Why are these guys putting up unbelievable numbers? And that brought awareness to the school. And after that, I got drafted to the San Francisco 49ers.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
I think the first thing that comes to me is responsibility. With recency and kind of the social, the racial issues that we're having that have really come to light, which is, I believe, are good things. I think that it's a responsibility for me to be the first manager of color for the Dodgers. There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
Oh, man, thank you for having me play in a real way. I mean, I'm so honored. You Football League has done so many wonders. We got over 200 kids that have graduated from high school. We have over 50 kids that have going to Division I.
NBA All-Star Chris Paul.
That was great to bring it back to Winston-Salem State University, a black college. Something that my city had never seen before, may never see again, and just having a up-close and personal feeling with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Melo. It was exciting. I'm grateful for those guys coming out.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player, but for me it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in the first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's From the Press Box to Press Row, real, relevant radio. All right, we're going to keep things moving here on Box to Row, joined by a gentleman in his 10th season as the head softball coach at Morgan State. The Bears are the 2024 MEAC tournament champions. As a matter of fact, going to be in Durham this weekend for the regional. Larry Heinlein is the head coach at Morgan State, and he joins us here on Box to Row. Coach Heinlein, congratulations and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. This has been something you have been trying to get done for quite some time, you know, certainly at Morgan State, finally able to get it done. Your thoughts on...
Well, 3 years ago, we won the MEAC tournament. Okay. But the last 3 years have been hard. Trying really hard as well.
Trying to get it. So just your thoughts in terms of winning it once again.
Well, first off, we've won the regular season, schedule the last 4 years in a row. And then before that was COVID. So we've always been, you know, at or near the top of the league. The last 2 years, we tripped up in the tournament and didn't win it. And this year we lost the very first game of the tournament and had to come back through the loser's bracket, win 5 straight. And we had to win 1 on Thursday, 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday. And I got to give the credit to the young ladies that we have at Morgan State. They battled. I had some seniors that they didn't want to get denied their ring and their championship. And we just gutted it out. All 3 of the first of the 5 games, we were behind by a couple runs in the game early on. And it was just a tremendous effort, and I'm so proud of every single one of them. It was a team effort, without a doubt.
And, you know, interestingly enough, you coached at, you know, you coached at Coppin State, and you had to win 2 games. Not only winning it, but that had to feel pretty good in terms of beating the school that you were formerly at. You had to win, to your point, double elimination tournament. You'd already lost one. You had to beat Coppin State twice to ultimately win that tournament championship.
they have a good hitting team. They're you know, a tough team. But we held them to one run and no runs. And so if we scored, we win. So it was our pitching and defense was extraordinary during those two games. And, you know, I preach that to my girls all the time. Pitching and defense wins games and championships. And it played out in this MEAC final day against Coppin.
What did you say to your young ladies after the loss to North Carolina Central, who won last year's MEAC tournament championship?
Yeah, no. Well, it's what I said. And, you know, coaches always have little words or words of wisdom. But I said, hey, ladies, I said, we need a 5-game winning streak. I said, near the end of the season, we beat Howard 3 in a row and Coppin 2 in a row. I said, that's 5. We beat 2 of the best teams in here, 5 straight. And all we have to do is win 5 straight again. If we do what we've done before, and we had a couple 5-game winning streaks. I said, just get a 5-game winning streak. You've done it before. And that was my words of encouragement, wisdom, or what have you. And they believed in it. When we got the first one down, I said, no, we need a 4-game winning streak. And then, you know, after each game, we huddled in the tent that they had put up for the players and said, hey, this is one more down. And just, you know, it worked. It worked.
Larry Heinlein, again, in his 10th season as the head softball coach at Morgan State. He joins us here on Box to Row. The Bears, or Lady Bears, as it were, 35-18 on the season. Going to be in the regional in Durham, as a matter of fact, this weekend. Just your thoughts on how the team has played overall this season.
We've had our ups and downs, but I tell you, one of the measuring sticks I use, we went down to Baylor for a 3-game set. Now, Baylor at the time was a top 20 team, and they also made the tournament. It's always it's a perennial good program, and we played Baylor well. I mean, all 3 games were tight. We had a chance to beat them all 3 games. We had runners on, you know, in scoring position, you know, many times. We lost 2-1 or 2-0 rather, 3-1, things like that. And so that trip and that experience and it was a indicator that we could do some good things. And so that sort of, you know, got us all confident that when we went to the MEAC tournament that we should, you know, finish strong, you know, because of our experience down there and other places we played as well.
Yeah, how did that come about? I think that's interesting to make the trip cross country to play a nationally ranked Baylor team, which, to your point, you were very competitive in all 3 games.
How did that come? Interesting story. Baylor is having a tournament. And I had 2 teams besides us, 4-team tournament. And one of the teams dropped out for some unknown reason or whatever the reason was. And the other team said they didn't want to be in with just 3 teams. So I talked to the head coach and he said, you know, you can bail if you want. I go, no. I committed to come to your tournament. And I'm going to keep my promise to you. And, you know, I don't do things that way. And so he said, okay, thank you very much. And he was happy. The head coach there, Glenn Moore, was happy to have us. And we went down there and showed well. And he was very pleased. He said, you helped us get better. And so that was a great compliment from a great coach. So I was really, real pleased with that.
No doubt about it. How do you compare this championship to the last championship that you won?
Yeah, the last championship, it's kind of hard. It's a good, great, great question because I hadn't really – you know, I'm still on a high, you know what I mean, from winning this thing on Saturday. Because, you know, coming all through all those games and just one after the other. So it didn't get a chance for any reflection. But this team now, I think we're stronger in some positions than we were a couple years ago. I think this team's a little, as far as firepower, we got a couple, I don't want to say better hitters, different hitters. And so his team's a little bit stronger than the one, two, you know, but my team a couple of years ago was pretty darn good. And like I said, every year, the last 4 straight years, and then even the year before COVID, the 2 years before that, we were at the top. We were first and a half a game out of this other year. So, you know, we're used to winning and being strong. So comparing one team to the other is not really fair, but this team, this team had some grit. I'll tell you, it really, really did.
Larry Heinlein, again in his 10th season as the head softball coach at Morgan State, joining us here on the program. The Lady Bears are MEAC tournament champions. Speak to the pitching. I mean, you've got several pitchers that have really gotten it done for you this year. As I look at this, you've got three pitchers with seven wins, one with eight, and, you know, some pretty good ERAs. Pitching seems to have been, to this point, really, really good for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, those four, you mentioned, have four pitchers that are, you know, we spread the wealth here with that. And I just it's just what we pride ourselves on. We had we got three seniors leading their pitchers. So I made sure that we recruited pitchers to fill spots. But for next year, you can't lose the pitchers. And so we rotate the pitchers for the most part. And then whoever's hot will pitch. And they all bring something different to the table. And, Emily Robo, who pitched 21 scoreless innings in this championship series, she didn't start out the year as, like, number one. But, of course, you know, in the end, the last weekend, she grabbed the ball and she got it done. So I'm proud of them. They bide their time. One Melissa Paz, who's a fifth-year senior with me. She had a COVID year. She didn't really pitch much this year, but I got her in a game that we were losing, and she held them down for three innings. I think it was North Carolina Central. She came in. We had been working with
Uh-oh. To
how we, you know, managed the pitchers and kept them all fresh and ready. And whoever you know, was ready to grab the ball and win the game, we handed it to them. So it's our strength, and it paid off.
And then again, just looking at the numbers, Victoria Fletcher is one that leads you in hitting with a .336 average and four home runs. Speak to what she's meant from an offensive standpoint.
She's tough. She, you know, obviously with her power and her average, she gets pitched around a lot. So, sometimes it's difficult for her to, you know, hit, but she comes through, clutch hitter. They tried to walk her. In the South Carolina State game in the bottom of the last inning, they hung one just a little too close to the edge of the plate, and she ripped it up the middle for a game winning walk off base hit. So she's clutch. She's a gamer. She's cool as a cucumber. Right? Any other cliche I got, but she's and the teams are really they really respect her, and they're fearful of her. I mean, she's tough. She's tough. Hits the ball hard.
Couple of more thoughts with Larry Heinlein. He's the head softball coach at Morgan State. Maybe not Duke in particular, although Duke has been number one in the country this year, but this particular regional. Speak to maybe the difficulty of it, but to your point, you've had some really good experience this year playing some big teams, including, as we mentioned earlier, Baylor.
Yeah, we played Baylor, Penn State, who's also in the tournament, Liberty, who's also in the tournament, St. Francis, who's also in the tournament. So we've played some good teams, some big teams that are same place we are. And, it's not going to be – we're not going to go there in awe of Duke. We're absolutely going to respect them. They are a team that's capable and of being a top three team in this country and probably should be. Right now, I think they're 46-6. They only have six losses. I know that for sure. They're good. They're really good. ACC regular season champ, ACC tournament champ. But we've had our experience, and so we believe that if we play, you know, if we play our game and stay in the rhythm of the game, we can be extremely competitive.
When you think back to when you took this position back in 2015 and couple of championships to where it is now, and again another tournament championship, having come from not that far down the street at Coppin State, what most comes to your mind?
Well, what most comes to my mind was the rebuilding process at Morgan. I mean, my first year there, my Coppin teams were I hate to put compare contrast, but my Coppin teams were more sound fundamentally than what I took over at Morgan. And so that first year or two was difficult. It was a different kind of mindset. And when you try to rebuild a team, it's hard. It's just a couple year process. So the first year we did okay. The second year is when we, were able to get back into the league tournament, the MEAC tournament. So, that process was a little difficult at first. I didn't have the right pieces. I didn't have a shortstop. It was a bunch of things. And so the challenges were there. But once we got rolling after the second year, we were competitors for the league top spot. It took us a while to get there, a little while. But, we were able to put, we were able to do recruiting a little bit better. It's a process, as you can imagine. You just don't go out there and say, hey, I'm the new coach. We're going to win. You know, it's a whole lot of work. And my assistants I've had along the way have been very, very good with that effort.
Larry Heinlein again in his 10th season as the head softball coach at Morgan State, joining us here on the program. The Lady Bears going to be in the, in essence, Duke Durham Regional this weekend. Coach Heinlein, we appreciate the time. Good luck to you and the Lady Bears.
All right, thank you so much. And thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's going to be a tough regional for Morgan State. However, you heard Coach Heinlein talk about the teams that Morgan State has played throughout the course of the season that are currently in the tournament. More of the program on the other side.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at BoxToRow and on Facebook at From the Press Box to Press Row. And don't forget to tell your friends to check out all of the latest from BoxToRow. BoxToRow. BoxToRow.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Back here on Box to Row, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs momentarily here on the program. The NFL schedule reveal took place on Wednesday. How do you feel about your team coming into the 2024 season? Of course, I'm a Commanders fan, and I mean, there's reason for optimism. Now, I'm not going to say the Commanders are going to make the playoffs, but there is reason for optimism when you have a guy like a Jaden Daniels that's coming in, a lot of excitement in the city. And by the way, I'm a season ticket holder now for the first time. I mean, I used to go to then Redskins games. My father had season tickets, so I used to go quite a bit. Now I've got my own season ticket, so I'm looking forward. Probably not going to go to every game, but I'm looking forward to some games this year. The first home game for the Commanders is going to be against the Giants, the first game, and that's the second week of the season. And the very first game of the season is going to be at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's going to be a very tough game. The Buccaneers coming off a more of a surprising season as that NFC South. I think it's the Buccaneers to lose, although you got to look at the Falcons. Like the Falcons with Kirk Cousins, there's some optimism certainly there in Atlanta. The schedule is what it is. I mean, you've got the Panthers at home. If you're a Commanders fan, you've got the Browns at home. Like, it's not, look, you start off at the Buccaneers. I mean, it's a winnable game, but I don't know if the Commanders win that, especially because the Buccaneers are going to have a pretty solid team. The Giants, like I mentioned, week two come home. That is definitely more than a winnable football game, although the Commanders dropped, I believe, both games to the Giants last year. The Bengals, that's going to be a tough game. At the Cardinals in week four. It's a winnable game. The Browns come to FedEx Field week five. That's a tough game. At the Ravens week six, that's definitely a tough game. Panthers week seven, winnable game. Bears week week 8. And that's the matchup between the number one pick in Caleb Williams and the number two pick in Jaden Daniels. Week 9 is at the Giants, winnable game. Week 10, at home against the Steelers, winnable game. Week 11, at the Eagles again. We'll see, like, once you get to week 11, but I'm just saying preseason-wise, winnable game. Cowboys at home week 12, tough game. Titans week 13, winnable game. At New Orleans week 15, because the Commanders have a bye in week 14, so at the Saints week 15, winnable football game. Eagles again week 16, tough but winnable football game. Falcons week 17, winnable football games. And at the Cowboys week 18, tough but winnable football game. How is your schedule faring for the team that you cheer for? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. So let me get back to talking about the NBA playoffs. And, you know, certainly the Nuggets have put themselves in position to win the series. Now, again, as I mentioned, and I was talking about prior to, obviously, all that I talked about in that first segment was prior to Game 6. Absolute blowout by Minnesota. Minnesota in Game 6 looked like the Minnesota team that we saw in both Games 1 and 2. Dominant. Anthony Edwards went off, and you saw, you know, there was a sequence in the third quarter where, and even before the half for the Nuggets, okay, if you can trim that thing to maybe 16, you got a bit of a chance, but the Nuggets couldn't even get that right and then shot poorly in the third quarter. There was a sequence right around the 6.5 minute mark where the Nuggets looked absolutely out of sorts. Jamal Murray didn't play well. Even Jokic, who has been very, very consistent, he was sort of passive, I thought, a little bit there in the third quarter. And there was a sequence, like I said, about this, about 6 minutes and 30 seconds remaining in the third, where the Nuggets not only couldn't hit shots, could barely hold on to the ball. It was one of those deals where the Nuggets looked terrible, but give all of the credit to the Timberwolves. Now, can the Timberwolves close it out? Because what we've seen so far, the only team that has won a road game in this series, there's only one team, obviously, and that's the Nuggets, who won two road games. Remember, games three and four, both were in Minnesota. Go back to Denver for game 5. Game 6 was back in Minnesota. So Minnesota's won games 1 and 2, and then game 6, which was a game in, or all three of those games were in Minnesota. So it's, can, look, the Nuggets are coming back home. They've already won one at home, at least. They've lost two, but they've won one at home. They're going to have that crowd behind them. I don't think we're going to see Jamal Murray have the kind of game that Jamal Murray had on Thursday. I mean, it was a bad game, but I don't think we're going to see that kind of game from Jamal Murray at all. But I don't know. Do the Nuggets have enough firepower to match Minnesota? Now, if Minnesota plays anywhere near the way that it played in games 1, 2, or 6, I it doesn't matter how much firepower the Nuggets have. It may be a bit of a closer game, but the Nuggets are definitely going to lose that game, no doubt about it. Okay, so it's wide open. But again, as I mentioned in the first segment with Minnesota, what team, you know, are we getting for game 7? Because Minnesota looked like world beaters. Again, games 1, 2, and 6. Not so much in games 3, 4, and 5. So this series is going to come down to the wire on Saturday. Then you've got the Thunder and the Mavericks. I haven't been as much into this game. The Mavericks lead that series 3-2 with game six in Dallas. I mean, Dallas has a prime opportunity to close this thing out. I think if the Mavs are unable to close this game out and you have to go back to Oklahoma City for game seven, I like the Thunder. I mean, I like the Thunder in that game. I mean, this has been a pretty close series. You know, it's one of those deals. Can the Mavs make it back to the Western Conference Finals this time? Because remember, I would say you're switching out Brunson for Kyrie. If, again, that's assuming, or not even assuming, if the Mavs win this game or win this series, you go to the Western Conference Finals. But the Mavs have got some power. I mean, you know, I think, you know, adding a PJ Washington was absolutely crucial for the Mavericks and has really made, you know, all the difference in the world. I think when you look further at this Mavericks team, right, like, you know, Lively's giving you a little bit of something, right there. You know, even though Tim Hardaway Jr. hasn't really given you, you know, a whole lot to really look forward to. But the guy that I really like, and I think that, you know, Gafford, I mean, Daniel Gafford is unbelievable because he can rebound. He can block shots. He's a really, really good defender. And then he's excellent around the rim. Like, I mean, you talk about dunks galore. You talk about just being good as a big man around the rim. So, I think the Mavs close it out, okay? I think that's what's going to happen, okay? But let's say that scenario doesn't happen. Then I think we go back to OKC. We're going to go back to OKC for game seven, and I think Oklahoma City is going to close that series out. So, look, the Western Conference, we still got some games, and we could very well see a battle of two of the youngest teams in the league. When you're talking about the Timberwolves and you're talking about the Thunder, or we could see more of a veteran matchup between the Nuggets and the Mavericks, or we could see a combination thereof. We could see, you know, OKC taking on Denver, or we could see Minnesota, you know, taking on the map. So you've got all different kinds of scenarios right there. But this NBA playoffs has been really, really good. I mean, I know the talk had been about, well, you don't have KD, you don't have LeBron, you don't have Steph Curry. I haven't looked at any of, you know, sort of the numbers and the ratings and that type of thing to see if people are really watching because you don't have those players. I mean, but look, it's still been exciting series. Right. Like, we can't take away from that. And again, I my problem with the Knicks has nothing to do with the Knicks. It's about the media and in specifically the New York media, how much it's going to rave about the Knicks and how much we got to hear about the Knicks. But the Knicks have really, really been exciting. That, you know, that exciting series between, you know, Indiana and New York. But a lot of these other series have been really, really good as well. Look, I got to get ready to run here on Box to Row. Thank you to Michael Robertson, the head baseball coach at Texas Southern, for joining us today here on the program. And Larry Heinlein, the head softball coach at Morgan State, for joining us today here on Box to Row. If you've missed any of those conversations, we have them on our YouTube page. So check them out. We'll have them on our YouTube. We'll have them, I should say, on our YouTube page. If you've missed any of our shows this year, you can always log on to our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo! Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
Mama always told to be careful.